Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
B-Pod Studios.
The Bat. These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz. 95 The Sports Hub.
.504 in the evening. Here's the final hour of the program. Reset the Patriots. Don't go back to your phones. Get the big boy, Greg Bedard, in late. The 2 o'clock hour. We could play a piece of sound from him, but why bother? I'd much rather read his email than I can make fun of it and do it in voices and like have him say things that he didn't say. And
perfect.
Far more easier to manipulate.
In fact, we should have all the callers email.
Greg said that he might be more horrified by the offense of the Patriots at this point. They just gave up 37 points to a college quarterback and a college offense. And I know 7 of those was a offensive fumble, but, you know, work with me. Still, he said, I might be more horrified by the offense at this point. Bedard said the Patriots have literally nothing going for them. It looked like they had to resort to no huddle just to keep the Ravens off them and to create space. That is not sustainable, he says. I think the Ravens half were happy to let them just throw 5 yards and take up time, that the Ravens let them have it. He said, oh, by the way, Sanu's game might have been the most overrated game I've seen in a while. This was a blast. Bedard said, you're telling me he was great in this game? Really? Name me one play where he impressed. He caught 10 passes for 81 yards, and 44 of that was yards after the catch. That means his depth of target was 3.7 yards. He averaged 4.4 yards per reception. His long was 15 yards. On his touchdown, the Patriots needed Edelman and Watson to bowl over 3 defenders. The INT was his fault, by the way. He stopped running. Yay! He could catch some hitches and some rub routes. Wonderful, writes Bedard. He must have been angry when he woke up this morning.
Clearly.
Hungry.
Yeah, maybe. That's
cranky.
Yeah, he probably missed dinner.
Hadn't been fed yet.
Like a hibernating bear.
Yeah, it was cranky. Yeah. It was
really, again,
ornery.
Probably bees in the honeycomb.
And he gotten his paws into anything yet. He says Josh McDaniels has a lot of work to do during the bye. This was like the Titans game last year. And then after that Titans game last year, they doubled down on the running game and had Gronk as an option. Now? I don't know what they do if someone doubles Edelman like the Ravens did a lot. This offense is totally punchless. They are unathletic. They're unathletic on the line, slow and prodding when it comes to the targets. Dorsett was basically just a decoy for Jimmy Smith the whole game. The Ravens should have moved him. He says, if you thought last year was smoke and mirrors on offense, and it was, this is like thick fog and mirrors. They have nothing against a solid, smart defense. Signed, a very hungry and ornery Greg Bedard this morning. So do you think he's overstating this a little bit?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but I also think that their offense is going to have limitations all year. So again, the mistake I think Greg is making is that he's still waiting for them to morph into something closer to what they were 2 years ago. And I don't think you're getting that anymore. I don't. I think that that's gone. I think that that's it. Especially now. Now, if they have the same offensive line they did last year, I might feel differently. But with the line and the shape there is, forget it. They're not getting 30 a week.
And Sanu didn't make an explosive play per se, but
I loved Sanu in this game.
It did seem to me like him and Brady had like a nice, comfortable rhythm that they had going together, and I feel like that's going to serve them going forward. And again, the way that this thing played out, if Julian Edelman doesn't fumble, we might be talking about a Patriots win.
Like, exactly.
They got things going there.
That if he doesn't fumble, they're 23 or 27 points, and I thought that would have been enough against that stupid college offense. So I'm sorry, that's on the defense. And not that the offense was perfect, or not that there's not issues. I'm not. But
the old line sucks. Don't go.
I've accepted the imperfect offense. I think you can win with an imperfect offense. You can't win with a horrible one. I mean, you can if the defense is as good as
the 85 Bears.
Right, okay, or the Broncos even a couple of years ago. But I think all this team needs is a representative offense, and I think they have that. And I'll take Sanu, 8 yards, easy money, you know, up and down the field all day long. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, so look, again, I think it's two different things. But I know what he means about Sanu. For example, in the Super Bowl in 07, when they should have gone undefeated, Welker had 11 catches.
Yeah, he did a big game.
For like 80 yards.
He's one of the few guys that showed up that game.
Right. Did he hurt anybody? In other words, you know what I mean? Did
he hurt? Kept the ball and got first downs.
Did he hurt the Giants?
Well, ultimately, the Giants weren't hurt, but it wasn't his deal.
Okay, but that's sort of how I felt about Sanu on Sunday. I understand what he means. And that Sanu made the catches. He made the plays. And I know he got a touchdown down there, too. But I never felt like he was a threat. Does that make sense? So, and I think that element was missing a little bit in that game for them.
Well, so you don't have big play threats. You're going to have to win without it, like a lot of teams have won without it.
So they need to figure, and honestly, I think it just needs to be someone who can score a touchdown from outside of 20 yards. Like, N'Keal Harry, I'll take inside the red zone. Like, someone who can make a play in a tight space.
To me, this is on Brady. And so is it unfair that they're just putting it all on Brady? Well, yes, in a respect, but no, in a respect, when you have the greatest quarterback of all time, it's that part of the deal there is you put more on him. So you should be able to get away with less around you because you have strength at that position. And so instead of, you know, whining about it, how about just working with the young guys, looking at the young guys, spreading the ball a little bit more? But I feel like we're way past this with Tom Brady. I keep saying, you know, Jacoby Myers is now officially in witness protection because he's got Mohamed Sanu. And, well, but Myers is just out. He's out. And that frustrates me because I think it's a much better story. And I know you all would have your pants off for it if Tom Brady was looking at Jacoby Myers and using Jacoby Myers and throwing to Jacoby Myers. And then the story would be, look at Brady at 42 and possibly his last year, working with a young player, bringing him along and winning with an undrafted guy like Jacoby Myers. What a great story. We'd be celebrating it, wouldn't we? I know we would. And that's what I want to see. That's the story I want to see. That's the story I want to celebrate. Because that's the Brady I know. That's the team that I know. But it doesn't feel like Brady's doing that. Which leads to the email of the day.
It's the Moncast Email of the Day!
Dear Felga, I effing hate you. And I think Maz is a douche.
The Moncast Email of the Day! Send one to Felga at 985thesportshub.com.
Mimecast, the official cyber resilience email provider of the New England Patriots. Protect your business email from cyber attacks with cloud solutions from Mimecast. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, Mimecast. Mime is money, as Billy Crystal said. Go to Mimecast.com today. Felger writes, Sam, all caps, why are you guys so obsessed with Jacoby Myers? Seriously, thoughts and prayers to Jacoby Myers and his family during this trying time, Felger. Boy, I hope he can pull through. That big, bad bully Tom Brady is not throwing him the ball enough. Wah, poor baby Jacoby Myers. Since when are we so concerned with this? Since when are we so concerned with his feely-wheelies, his feelers? Why are we so concerned about Jacoby Myers' feelings? Sam says the offense is inconsistent at best, and Brady is doing all he can to move this giant sack of crap Belichick saddled him with up and down the field. And now he's supposed to be worried about Jacoby effing Myers, and if he's feeling okay and supported, grow up, Felger. This isn't Pop Warner where everyone gets playing time. This is the NFL. And if you're not as good as the other players and you don't consistently get separation, sit your ass on the bench. Do you think Bill thinks Myers is reliable? Would he have brought in the parade of crappy wide receivers and signed Antonio Brown and traded for Sanu if he had confidence in Myers? No way, says Sam in Beverly. I'm not worried about his feelings. I just think Myers gets open and catches the ball, and if Brady looked his way, he'd be a viable piece of your offense. That's all I think. I could care less about his feelings.
So I just wonder if the decision on who to throw to and who to play in this game had something to do with the no huddle. In other words, you know, there are only so many guys that can handle it. They were going to run this game plan against Baltimore because Bill's got it in his head that we can't run on the Ravens. So we're going to spread them out and throw it and get rid of the ball fast because we can't protect either. And that's what it's going to be because the Ravens are still who they used to be. And they're not. So I just feel like the game plan was a little flawed going in there. But I wonder if that was because Myers had been playing well.
Yeah, two back-to-back games, the Giants and the Jets. It was almost as if, you know, Brady watched the film and sat down with McDaniels, and McDaniels pointed to 16 and said, see, he's open on some of these plays. Look his way. Just because you don't have familiarity with him doesn't mean you shouldn't be throwing to him.
But you know I'm right about this, that if Brady was using those guys and looking at those guys and incorporating those guys, it'd be a great story and we'd celebrate it. Because it is.
Sure.
It's worth celebrating. Look at Brady at this stage of his career working with a young kid and bring him into the offense. And his favorite receivers, the open receivers. And look at how he, you know, sees the field and, you know, is a team player. All those things. We would celebrate all those things and rightly celebrate those things. So he's not doing it. He's doing just the opposite. So isn't that worthy of a little bit of criticism?
Of course it is. Yeah, look, again, I think Brady could have done a better job with a lot of these young guys. Go all the way back to the offseason. I mean, really, again, you draft a receiver in the first round and you don't go to OTAs. Like, and I don't care whether he worked with them independently or he didn't.
Oh, you play catch with them once at the Manor.
Okay.
That's fine Manor. And then it's on, you know, Instagram, but that's the extent of his offseason work with Nikhil Harry.
As far as we know, right? But I'm saying, let's say there was actually, I don't care. It's got to be in the team framework. It's got to be in the team concept. He wasn't there. So go all the way back to the offseason. Like, I look at that and say, you know, I just don't feel like Brady has made that commitment as he has in the past. So, like, that part, absolutely. At the same time, this is not, they're not built the same way anymore. They're not. Like, I feel
so you can't be going and allowing 37 points on defense.
I start with the defense. I do. To give up 30 to that team,
it's really
running the ball.
It's 30, right.
Right, because obviously the Edelman fumble. But even so, 30?
Ridiculous.
30 to a running team?
That team should have been held in the teens.
They couldn't get off the field on third down. They didn't stop him in the red zone. They committed stupid mistakes. Fourth down play, they allowed to be converted. All the big plays. You got to win on defense now.
So there's your Patriots reset. Did you enjoy it? Look at this. Everything on the board. A true smorgasbord. Patriots, Bruins, Celtics, even the Red Sox and the J.D. Martinez fallout. All of it with your calls, I promise, right after this.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.best40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Felger and Mass.
Ow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, to your phones on everything as promised. Jim's in Los Angeles on the Pats. Go, Jim.
Hey, fellas. I just wanted to see your thoughts on the Sony Michel getting pulled out early and also the offensive line of the Ravens crapping all over the defense.
Hey, well, on Sony Michel, just par for the course. I mean, it's funny that it takes him running the wrong pass route and Brady getting pissed off to yank his ass off the field. I mean, he can have mediocre run after mediocre run and not hit the hole and not hit the hole and then be out there snap after snap. But as soon as he runs the wrong route, dead.
Well, so again, I wonder if some of this related to the game plan, right? They were going hurry up. They're going to throw a lot. So Burkhead was in there. White was in there. I wonder if once the mistake happened in the pass game, he said, see you later.
Yeah.
You're out. Like, I sort of think it might have been a pass-heavy game plan anyway, in which case it was going to be more White. It was going to be more Burkhead. And then once he screwed up, it's like, sit your ass down, you're done.
The line play is something you've been hitting on the last couple
horrible.
Of days.
Again, horrible. And I think it's on both sides. So, you know, Greg loves the fatties on the defensive line. He loves Shelton. He loves Guy. And again, he watches it more closely than I do. So I'm not, you know, I'm just telling you, I don't think those guys are anything special. And so I think they got, I think the Ravens offensive line won that battle. And offensively, when the Patriots go against anybody right now, their offensive line's a mess.
Eric and Marlboro on the Celts. Yes, Eric.
Hey, couple things real quick. Just got to admit, the Patriots are still this town's team, not the Bruins. Even though they lost, it's still a Patriots town. About the Celtics, Felger, I just don't get what you're seeing. Because optically, don't you guys think it takes so much energy for this team to just win? I don't know how they can sustain this level of like frenetic play in order to get wins. I just think it's going to catch up on them, and they're a middle-of-the-pack team. So I guess my question is, do you think they actually can sustain this level of energy and win?
Yes. I've seen them do it before. Absolutely they can. Optically, what I'm seeing is an Eastern Conference that is weak with no clear top dog. LeBron's gone. Kawhi Leonard is gone. The alleged top teams in the conference are severely flawed. Severely flawed. Where their quote-unquote best players have real shooting problems, real free-throw shooting problems, and are vulnerable. That's what I'm seeing. And I'm seeing the turd in the punch bowl having been removed. And so you getting sort of your DNA back of a scrappy, hardworking team that actually gives a crap. And that's all going to conspire for them to go deep. That's what I'm saying. Stated my case over and over again. And I think it makes perfect sense.
So I think it only gets you so far. That's all. And again, regular season, you might end up being right. They might be over on the over-under. I think they're going to be under. The only variable for me, and I've said this from the beginning, this is not revisionist history. If Tatum takes another step and goes to a different level, the whole game changes.
And this year he has a chance to.
Sure he does.
Because Dingleberry is now gone.
Yes.
So now he has a chance.
So, but again, to me it's all incumbent on Tatum because he's the one game changer I see for them.
When they win tonight in Cleveland, they will be tied for the best record in the East.
Ooh.
Just saying.
What's that, 6-1?
5-1, I believe.
Okay, yay.
Is what it is.
They give out trophies after seven games?
Nope,
six games?
But they still do keep track. They still do have that scoreboard still functions, and the standings are kept, and that's what the standings say. I'm just reading the standings.
I'm thinking how many awful losses they had last year to teams they should have never lost.
Oh, my God. But by this time last year, they already lost to the Knicks and the Suns, and I'm just saying by this point last year, whatever.
Ish. But by around Thanksgiving, yeah, they were 11-10.
By Thanksgiving, they had lost to how many crap bag, ridiculous basketball teams?
Did they lose to Phoenix?
They lost to the Suns. They lost to, I mentioned that, and at home to the Knicks. Like, holy moly.
Did you already say that?
I think I just said it, but that's okay. Let's grab some Red Sox thoughts. J.D. Martinez is opting in. They still need to trim payroll. My plan, trade David Price. That's where it begins and where it ends. And Jackie Bradley, which should be automatic. Swallow some money on David Price and get this. Talk about the turn in the punch bowl. Get this guy out of here. Enough. Enough of the David Price thing. Keep Mookie Betts. Keep J.D. Martinez. Have the super nerds in back. Come up with the fifth starter every 5 days. You know, with a bullpen day produced by Carmine, which you laugh, but over half the teams in the league do this now.
No, I'm not laughing at the bullpen game. I think you're going to see that next year. I'm laughing at the term super nerds.
The super nerds. The super nerds with the computer-generated fifth starter. That's what the league has become. They're doing this in the playoffs now. And if you think it's the managers doing it, ha, you're sorely mistaken. The super nerds are coming up with the game 5 starter. And that's what I propose.
I really think super nerd should be a singular. There should be only one super nerd.
I'm not Superman. I'm not even joking. Price.
I think Chaim Bloom is super nerd.
Price out of here. And if you need to, again, super nerds need to come up with the game 5 starter, the day 5 starter, so be it. Josh and Haverhill, your thoughts.
Hey, Felge, before we get to the Sox, I know you said you were coming on the podcast. Just email me back about that.
Yeah, okay, well, let's not do this on the air, Josh, shall we, please? Can we keep this to, like, FC where it belongs and just, please?
Yes, yes. But on the Sox,
you're embarrassing
I would
me.
Trade Mookie. I would trade Mookie. I think he has to go. No way I'm trading Xander Bogaerts.
Okay, and I don't think we are either.
No, they're not going to trade Bogaerts, please.
But I'm trading Betts if I win the trade. I think you're getting pennies on the dollar.
Okay, so you say win the trade. How about break even on the trade?
Yeah, whatever. If I'm getting
a fair trade.
If I'm getting a fair trade, then fine. Yes, yes, yes. I get that. I just don't think you'll get a fair trade. I think teams are going to try and fleece you, and then at that point, what is the point?
I mean, with guys like that, you never get a fair trade. You never get one.
Especially in a walk year.
So the question then becomes, are you better off keeping them? But in order to do that, they're going to have to move other people.
In a walk year where the guy is dead set on going to free agency. And unless, you know, you're the team he's ultimately targeting, and you know there's somewhere in the back of his head he's got a team in mind. Unless that's that team. And unless that team is contending this year and needs to have him this year, all they have to do is wait for free agency and get him for nothing.
And when he approaches it the way he's approached it, he kills their market, too. That's the thing. he kills their market. Nope, I'm going to free agency. Nope, I'm going to free agency. He's been public about it. He's been vocal about it, the whole thing. So now everyone's sitting there going, why should we get you anything when he's going to be in the market in a year?
Mike in Wakefield, your thoughts.
Gentlemen, listen, now my baseball knowledge is limited to mainly sports talk radio and the red Brillo pad known as Shaughnessy. But I got to say, I would like to propose this, and I think there is a way that you can win the Mookie Betts trade. I think if you were to trade Mookie Betts, David Price, and Andrew Benintendi, you're able to pull that off. You're giving a team a lot right there, a lot of incentive to take on Mookie Betts, even though, I mean, they're still going to get one solid year out of them. So any contender out there is going to want him on their roster. Plus, David Price is a good pitcher. Do we like him? No, not really. Is he going to go somewhere else and be good? Probably. That way you get to trim a lot of money off.
Mike, just let me stop you. I would love to see Chaim Bloom come up with a big, creative, real baseball trade. Feels like it doesn't happen very often. Feels like they're usually dumps or, you know, rentals and things like this. But an actual, real, off-season baseball move that trims payroll, you know, mixes up your roster, mixes up someone else's roster. I would love to see that. Love to.
So I wouldn't rule it out with this guy. Again, one of the things they were able to do in Tampa is turn over rocks and find guys who have hidden value, right? So that, well, no, this guy's a better player than that organization's giving him credit for. We'll bring him in, we'll give him a chance, and he'll be a good player. But if you want that kind of deal, there's an easy guy to attach to Betts and make a blockbuster. That's Eduardo Rodriguez. He's coming off a 19-win season. I mean, there's more than one easy one, but
that's a good one.
In my head, you say to a team, look, you want to improve your pitching staff, you want to make a run at a championship and not just make it a total short-term thing, we'll give you Eddie Rodriguez. You'll get him for 3 years because he's arbitration eligible now for the first time. So you'll get him with Betts. Then you can figure out what to do with Mookie, and you can pay us a good price for it because you're getting Rodriguez out of the deal. So there you go. Then you shed some money. They get a good young player. Now, the problem is, if you're the Red Sox, are you really in a position to trade young pitching?
I'm just saying, most baseball trades are, you know, we can't pay this. And that's what this is a little bit. But, you know, we're going to trade this guy because we can't pay him and someone's going to rent him. And so,
correct.
Like, but a baseball trade. What was the Florida Marlins with the Miguel Cabrera trade and Detroit?
Oh, that was
Andrew Miller and Dontrell Willis and Miguel Cabrera and like names going back, like a real baseball trade.
Yeah.
I think they're due for something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, there's so few of those in any sport now, right? They're always money-based.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, every once in a while you get one, and they could do it this way. They'd have to, but they got to attach something to Betts if they want to do that.
Here's Murray's update, and then we're right back with you.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
We're wrapping up with your phone calls here before we hit the final word. Chris and Raynham on the Patriots. Hi, Chris.
Season, you guys talked about how they didn't need Antonio Brown after week one. Do you guys take that take back that they could have used him?
Nope.
And now, putting aside all the other stuff, you don't think they could have used Antonio Brown?
Sure they could have used him. Of course they could use him. Who couldn't? But I still don't want him, what you mean.
I mean, if he were a functional, normal human being, yes, but he's not, and he wouldn't have been.
I disagree with you guys on that one. On to my other point. This year has been one of the most frustrating seasons I've had to date. Between the tight ends, why did they completely ignore the tight end? And then the wide receiver position, it just doesn't make any sense. Maz, do you think Brady's play has dropped off, or do you think this is a team issue?
No, I think it's a team issue. I don't think Brady has slipped all that much, if at all.
Then why did they almost purposely waste the last few years of Brady's career?
I think the tight end thing is fair, Chris. I think the tight end thing is a fair second guess. What do you...
He said waste the last few years of his career. What have they wasted? They've gone to 2-3 Super Bowls in a row.
Exactly.
What are they wasting? Haven't wasted anything.
And the receiver thing, they've thrown a tremendous amount of crap against the wall. It's just, he swung and missed. Bill swung and missed. We were over it before with Bedard. Between drafting N'Keal Harry in the first round, going after Antonio Brown in the first place, then throwing a second-round pick after Mohamed Sanu, never mind throwing money at Beasley, Humphreys, bringing in Inman, all those guys, you know, and most of them are crappy, but they tried a bunch of things. So they really tried it at receiver. Tight end was neglected. That's fair, because you should have seen what was coming with Gronkowski, or at least put an earlier deadline on him so you could have done something in free. They neglected the tight end thing.
Yeah, so let's not exempt Gronk from blame there either, though. I mean, you know, Gronk strung him along. They went to go sign Jared Cook.
It's true.
And Jared Cook said, well, I don't know what's going on with Gronk, so he went to New Orleans. So, like, Gronk's responsible for some of that because he felt like yanking the Patriots around.
But you're making a good point. They've been to 3 of the last 4 Super Bowls, and they're the odds-on favorite to be the number one seed with home field throughout the playoffs to go to the 4th in 5 years. What are you talking about?
So this, again, why are they wasting Brady? And this is because, like Murray, and I'm not blaming you, Murray.
No, that's fine. Blame away.
But the perspective is wrong. It's about Tom, and it's not about the team.
Yeah, the way it should be.
And so this is sort of the same mistake that Brady makes from time to time, which I get when it's Brady. What I don't get is when it's everyone else. They won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Brady, wasting, but I haven't liked how they've drafted the last couple of years. I mean, just not even to take a flyer on any of these tight ends like that. I mean, you're butchering that position.
I mean, could they have won the AFC Championship game without Brady?
No.
No chance. Not with the way he played in the fourth quarter in overtime.
So what's your point?
So my point is they still need Brady. Like this idea that they're wasting Brady. No, they're not wasting Brady. They just need him differently than they used to need him in the past. In the past, they needed him to carry a greater percentage of the burden because they were flawed defensively. By the end of last year, it was a different team. So they asked him to do a little bit less. They said, Tom, be there when we need you to be there. And they're effectively asking him the same thing now.
I just think on some of these spots they've tried. They just haven't succeeded. It's, you know, they drafted the wrong running back. They may have drafted the wrong left tackle. We'll see.
Wrong running backs.
He can't get on the field. Maybe the wrong running backs, plural. I mean, who knows? But they drafted 2 running backs high in the last 2 years. Then they gave Rex Burkhead a tremendous salary for what he does. They drafted a kid who should play left tackle. He can't get on the field. So those are personal misses, but they're, you know, they were trying. They didn't even try a tight end. That's the only one that I'll say they quote-unquote neglected. But you make a great point. What are they wasting?
They haven't wasted anything. They're 8-1. They've been to 3 Super Bowls in a row, 4 out of 5. What have they wasted?
That's been to 3 in a row?
Yes.
I lose count of all this. Dan in Foxborough, give me a Bruins thought.
Did you guys catch the ball washing that Nesson put on Danton Heinen pregame?
No.
Oh, my God, it was preposterous. Michael, you would have thought he was Yari Curry.
How many points does this guy have?
To like 2.
I mean, has he done anything this year?
No, not a top 6 guy. And here's my point. The first line is video game nasty, and the second line with Krejci coming back certainly has potential. The third line, which is what you need, right, especially with Charlie Coyle, they had the guy, and I don't know what the salary cap implications, you know, that squeeze out of the toothpaste tube at the bottom of this were. Marcus Johansson sitting over there in Buffalo with 9 points, he 4 goals and 5 assists. How good would that look?
He was a good fit. Something would have had to give. You have to give up a good player.
They would be, I mean, look at 11-1-2, you know, they're doing great, but my God,
okay,
if they had that tandem.
Play the game. To keep Marcus Johansson, someone has to go. Who goes?
I know. It gives me a popsicle headache. I can't figure it out.
Well, I'll tell you. Tuukka Rask.
Krug.
Someone like that.
I mean, it is someone like that.
You know, Johansson's, I think, like $5 million. You're right against the cap, so it's like it's roughly a $5 million player.
I like his game, though.
So he was great with Coyle.
I loved his game.
That was your best line in the finals. So I liked him, too. Good fit. Something has to give. So what gives? Carlo, gone. Krug, gone. The goalie, gone. One of those have to go. You can't keep them all.
I'd have given up on Krug.
Krejci? Krejci's where I would have started.
Well, sure.
I would have blown out Krejci and have Coyle Johansson as my second line.
Yeah, but in a hard cap league, it's hard to get someone to take that.
Yes.
Right? So, look, if you didn't have Backus right now, you'd have a lot of things solved.
Correct.
Right?
That one's killing him.
Well, there's your money for Johansson. It's Backus.
Gino in Weymouth on the Red Sox. Yes, Gino.
Hey there. So, I think if there's any question on whether or not you want to be playing for the Red Sox, I think you got to go. Price and Mookie. See you later. If you can get some solid players, whether it be for throwing or whether it be for batting, and Benintendi steps up like we all expect him to, do we really think it's that far out of the question, especially leading on Bogarts and Devers, who had great years last year? Do you think it's out of the question this year to make a playoff run? Like,
yes.
A deep playoff World Series run?
Oh, yeah, you should be a contender this year. That doesn't mean favorite, as we debate on this show often. That doesn't mean you're favorite to win it all, or that you're going to win it all, that you're like the number one seed with the best record. Contend means you make the playoffs. The Washington Nationals won the World Series as a wild card team this year. The Washington Nationals had the same record as you essentially at the trade deadline. They were in the same spot, okay? That's contending, and they ended up winning. But just be that first thing. They should absolutely, no matter really what they do, Maz, they should contend next year.
No question.
Thank you.
Yeah, and when I say contend, I don't know if they'll be a World Series favorite.
Be a playoff team.
But they should be knocking on the door for the playoffs.
Yep. No, they should be in the playoffs.
Well, I need to see what everyone looks like by the time the spring rolls around. Like, you know, if a couple of teams make big moves, then I might change my mind. But they should be knocked. They should be right there. I mean, pretty damn close anyway. So, like, you know, if Sale is hurt, they trade another pitcher. Like, I'm gonna have questions about their staff. But they got plenty of talent still. They should be a 90-win team, which should get you in the playoffs.
They should be able to bash their way to the playoffs. And if they don't have the pitching to win, they don't have the pitching to win. But they should, even if they trade Mookie Betts, even if they trade someone, you know, and I don't think they should. I think they should trade David Price.
The only thing is, just quickly, because the caller said trade Mookie and Price, you're not going to move two high-priced contracts unless you, the best way to do it is if you're going to move a high-priced guy, even if he has talent like Betts, you got to put a young, cheap guy with him. So if it's Betts, it's probably going to be Eduardo Rodriguez. If you're going to move Price, you might have to move Benintendi.
Or you swallow some of the money on Price.
Okay, right.
You take $10 million off the AAV. Now David Price is $20 million a year for 3 years. That's pretty good value for him.
And then
actually,
you dump Bradley and you've saved $30
million. There you are. That's my path. And I'm keeping Mookie Betts. I'm renting Mookie Betts this year for a contending year. That's what I'm doing. Oh. Woody in Lowell on Tom Brady. Yes, Woody.
Hey, I agree with you totally, Fogger, that Brady has to incorporate his whole weapons package into the game. He has to stop worrying about these new guys. He has to go get them, incorporate them into the program. Look at your guy over there in Wisconsin, Aaron Rodgers. He was playing with guys off the practice squad and dropping dimes on them in the end zone.
This is true.
Brady doesn't do that.
Now, the bad news is they were all hungover on Sunday. They all went out and got bleep-faced, apparently, in L.A. But, yes, you don't hear all the bad things I can say about Aaron Rodgers, and there's a lot, and I'm not telling you I'd rather have him than Tom, none of this. I'm just saying, he's been throwing to guys I didn't even know were in the NFL. I mean, guys who shouldn't be in the NFL.
I mean, who's this the guy who caught the big passes in the game they pulled out against Detroit?
The hairbag?
Yeah.
No. Well, Jumanji. I call that guy. I can't remember what his name is.
Leonard or something like that?
I can't remember. I don't remember who these guys are. They're undrafted guys.
He's like a guy I never heard of.
So, like, I mean, and I think others are doing it too. But Brady in his old age, and I think sort of ties in with his frustration with the team or something, just can't be bothered to work in these young players.
Seriously.
Just has no interest.
No, he wants nothing to do with Lazard. That's the guy I'm thinking of. And so, look, I don't, you know, the weapons are there. There were enough weapons there on Sunday night between Sanu and Edelman and White and even Watson, who caught, what, four balls? The only one he missed was the big one.
Yeah.
Right? But the other passes he caught, that's enough. With their defense, that should be enough.
Should be enough.
As long as they make their kicks and do these other things. So right now, they're average on third down. They're average in the red zone. But with their defense, that should be enough.
The story is the 30 points they gave up on defense. I'm sorry. It is. Harvey in Canton on the Red Sox. Yes, Harvey.
Hi. I was wondering why the Red Sox wouldn't consider trading J.D. Martinez now that he's opted in.
They might.
And maybe trade. maybe trading him in Price and Bradley.
Okay, so the option to trade J.D. Martinez.
Oh, absolutely in play. Now, he's got a no trade, I think, to three teams that he can name. So he's going to eliminate...
Wait. He can eliminate 27 to the 30?
No. He can eliminate three.
Oh, okay, so you can trade him to 27 to the 30.
Correct. But there were going to be just, you know...
He has only three teams he can protect himself against?
Correct.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So he can say, you can't send me to Siberia. Yeah. You know, it's basically eliminate. But if you look at him and you say, okay, well, you know, he could opt out in a year. So again, now you're talking about a guy in a one-year contract. And he's a DH. So now eliminate the National League. So now you're down in the American League and he makes $25 million.
How many teams?
Right. It was 23 and a half.
And
but
there's
work
only
with me.
Six good teams
right.
who contend.
Right. Are you going to trade him to the Yankees? Well, that's never happening.
And who has the money?
Yeah. You're going to send him to Houston? Maybe. Maybe Houston, but not the Yankees. So you really only have a couple of places.
Cleveland, Minnesota can't afford him. It's no, like, really?
Right. It's just, so there aren't that many. He's, again, hard guy to trade. Hard guy to trade. So, you know, now if you eat the money, you make it more palatable for someone else, or you eat some of the money, you make it more palatable, and you cut it down there. I don't know, call it $15 million for a DH. Now there's a lot of teams. But now you're not saving as much.
Ed and Whitman, finish us off with the Bruins slot.
Hey, Felger. First, just want to ask you a favor. Please, for now and forever, always refer to Kyrie as Dingleberry.
Yeah, that just came out.
It is, well, it's fantastic. I love the word. I love what goes with it, and he is a Dingleberry. My second point, I'll keep it quick, with the Bruins. We talked last year, the window's closing. It's even closing quicker now. I mean, they have a mixture of veterans with younger players, but a core of that and what leads them is the older players. I think they need to go all out this year, and I do think watching the first line do what they do is awesome, and I think they are great, but it is not sustainable in terms of the playoffs and especially the regular season. You don't want to wear them down too much. They need a power punch on the second line forward, and whether that means trading away some prospects, draft picks, whatever.
Ed, let me tell you that it's about the salary cap. It's a real cap in that league. This isn't like the NFL where you can tear up contracts and do whatever you want, or it's not the NBA where you have 14 million exceptions. It's a hard cap league. So I think they would give up prospects. I think they would give up. I thought their window, the Bruins window, was shut last year. I thought when Tuca pooped himself in game 7 and the team didn't show up, or, you know, wilted there in game 7 against the Blues, that was it. Window closed. Now, are you telling me that they've are motivated by that game 7 loss? And it's going to fuel them all year, and they're going to put themselves right back in position. Are you telling me they're going to do that? I'll take it. I would love it. I would be pleasantly surprised.
It'd be quite a story, wouldn't it?
I thought the window closed last year with Game 7 against St. Louis. Bang. But if they want to come back and, you know, have that fuel them and motivate them all year and go on another run, I'm all for it. You can't add to this team unless you subtract something. They are tight against it, and
so
there's
look,
no other options.
I mean, I'm just looking this up online now, and I know there are ways to navigate this a little bit, like long-term injury and stuff like that. The site I'm looking at says they're already over.
So they Backus, you can't just put on long-term injury. There's no relief there or something. Because if it were that easy, I think they'd do it.
So I think it's something to do with Kevin Miller. That Kevin Miller right now is not counting. I'm gonna explore this tonight. But Kevin Miller right now, I don't think is counting against their cap. And when they add him, they're going to be over by about $2.5 million or something.
Okay, so never mind adding for like a second line score. You know, something's got to give. Something's got to go out the door.
Like soon.
Well, small term to get Kevin Miller on, but if we're talking about the caller, you know, loading up, you can't load up unless something big goes out the door.
No, that's right. Which is why, like, I half wonder. I mean, I love Backus, but you know, he banged his head again. I mean, if he's got to go out for any length of time and they put him on long-term injury, they help themselves out.
I don't know what the rules are there on that. Like I just said, I'm not sure if that gets him there. Either way, Bruins tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub at Montreal. Celtics over on WROR 105.7.
Yes.
And the final word comes your way right here next.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.best40.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mm-hmm. All right, had a bit of a technical issue. So we don't have the 10 questions recap, but we do have, if you missed this earlier, we find out that Mike Felger hates team photos.
Oh. What's the big deal with him taking a team picture?
It's like the Texans Letterman jacket
it
thing.
Is?
I think so. You don't think they play the Ravens, that's not going to be up in all the Patriots stalls?
Oh, the Patriots put everything up on their stalls. Like those babies, like it's all like the rabbit-eared Patriots. Well, all they do is turn like, oh, you hear what they said about you? Oh, yeah. Like, that's all they do. Like, that doesn't mean anything. I can blow a fart in the hallway and they'll put up in their locker stall. Like, oh, did you see what Felger did? Like, that's all they do. Like, that doesn't mean anything. Of course that's what the Patriots do.
But don't you think take a team photo after a regular season game?
You hear what he said? You hear what he said? Oh, he said this. He said that. Oh, can you believe he said that? That's the whole Patriots experience. That's all the Patriots do. You hear what they said?
Oh, God, come on. You would rip so many teams for that.
Boring.
If the Red
if
Sox
the Pats
were,
did it, you'd be all
oh, my
them.
God. You'd be all no, over them.
Yeah, you would.
Oh, come on.
Oh, no. Oh, you mean like, I don't know, beating 8 suckbag teams and then nicknaming your defense?
Well, okay. That's fair. That is fair.
I don't know. Is that on someone's bulletin board? Is that in someone's stall?
The boogeyman.
But if the Patriots did that against some team and took a team picture, you would have been all over
They're
their case.
All taking team pictures. Yes, I don't like any of it. You're right. I don't like any of it. But to say that the Patriots will use that, they use everything.
Oh, you believe he said, oh, they haven't faced us yet. You hear what he said?
And then he was right.
Oh, my God. Like, who cares? Jesus, get a different.
No, you're right about
Can we write a different storyline or a different script other than that? Like, Jesus, it's all anyone does.
The boogeyman.
It's preposterous.
Boo.
Yeah, it really is.
The boogeyman. He scared me on Sunday night, I'll tell you that.
God. Here comes Adam Jones and his stylings. What do we got tonight, Jones?
Well, we're gonna start off with Brady and some comments he made to Jim Gray last night.
Let me ask you something first.
Didn't sound all that impressed with his team. Go ahead.
He sure doesn't.
Yeah.
Celtics over under 49.5 wins.
Under.
Attaboy, Jones.
Yeah, Jones.
Why do I even ask?
Oh, wait a minute. It's a bad sign. I'm aligned with Jones.
Celtics over under game one East Finals.
My heart
they don't get to the Eastern
black.
Conference Finals. Yeah.
Okay.
No, please.
Under both.
Yeah. Sorry, you're right, Tony. You're all worried about I heard you guys driving in. You're all worried about Gasper weaseling his way out. Like, you're fine.
I'm not worried about Gasper.
Under 49, no Eastern Conference Finals.
Gasper, by definition, is a weasel. That's redundant.
I asked the wrong guy. All right, fine. So you're just going to rip on Brady here for an hour.
No. So we're going to start with Brady. I was going to ask you guys, does Chaim Bloom get any leeway here this year? Doesn't he have to hit the ground running, like,
yes.
right
yep.
away?
Yep.
Like, you're brought here to fix the whole thing.
Yep.
I know it's hard to pick between Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, or maybe Xander Bogaerts. I know it's hard to do that, but that's why you were brought here. You got to do it year one. You don't get there's no grace period.
Oh,
with
no.
Him.
If you blow this, we will kill you immediately.
Oh, that poor bastard. If I were him, I'd quit. Seriously. J.D. Martinez just stopped in, and he's sitting there going, I thought I was going to have $23 million right there. What the hell happened?
Zero grace period. Agreed.
He's screwed.
Here comes Jones and Arcand, and then again, Bruins tonight. Celts over at 105.7 WROR. We'll all be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. to talk about it. See you then, Anthony.
Bye.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to $16,000 off MSRP. You heard right. Not $10,000 or $12,000. We're talking $16,000 off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.